evening we turn and begin a series of sermons from the book of Zechariah. In fact, a series of sermons on Zechariah 10, verse 4. We have in that one verse four names or titles for our Savior, a verse that's only second unto Isaiah 9, verse 6. Many of our boys and girls also know where we have five names given of our Lord Jesus. We're going to begin our reading at Zechariah chapter 9, verse 6, and read through chapter 10. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, upon the colt, the foal of an ass. And I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace unto the heathen, and his dominion shall be from sea unto sea, and from the river even to the ends of the earth. As for thee also, by the blood of thy covenant, I have sent forth thy prisoners out of the pit wherein is no water. Turn you to the stronghold, ye prisoners of hope. Even today do I declare that I will render double unto thee. When I have bent Judah for me, filled the bow with Ephraim, and raised up thy sons, O Zion, against thy sons, O Greece, and made thee as a sword of a mighty man. And the Lord shall be seen over them, and his arrow shall go forth as a lightning. And the Lord God shall blow the trumpet, and shall go with whirlwinds of the south. The Lord of hosts shall defend them, and they shall devour and subdue with sling stones. And they shall drink and make a noise as through wine, and they shall be filled like bowls and as the corners of the altar. And the Lord their God shall save them in that day as the flock of his people. For they shall be as the stones of a crown, lifted up as an ensign upon his land. For how great is his goodness, and how great is his beauty! Corn shall make the young men cheerful, and new wine the maids. Ask of me, ask ye of the Lord, rain in the time of the latter rain, so that the Lord shall make bright clouds, and give them showers of rain to everyone grass in the field. For the idols have spoken vanity, and the diviners have seen a lie, and have told false dreams. They comfort in vain, therefore they went their way as a flock. They were troubled because there was no shepherd. Mine anger was kindled against the shepherds, and I punished the goats. For the Lord of hosts hath visited his flock, the house of Judah, and hath made them as his goodly horse in the battle. Out of him came forth the corner, out of him the nail. Out of him the battle bow, out of him every oppressor together. And they shall be as mighty men which tread down their enemies in the mire of the streets in the battle. And they shall fight because the Lord is with them, and the riders on the horses shall be confounded. And I will strengthen the house of Judah, and I will save the house of Joseph, and I will bring them again to place them. For I have mercy upon them, and they shall be as though I had not cast them off, for I am the Lord their God, and will hear them. And they of Ephraim shall be like a mighty man, and their heart shall rejoice as through wine. Yea, their children shall see it and be glad, and their heart shall rejoice in the Lord. I will hiss for them and gather them, for I have redeemed them, and they shall increase as they have increased. And I will sow them among the people, and they shall remember me in far countries, and they shall live with their children and turn again. And I will bring them again also out of the land of Egypt, and gather them out of Assyria, and I will bring them into the land of Gilead and Lebanon, and place shall not be found for them. And he shall pass through the sea with affliction, and shall smite the waves in the sea, and all the deeps of the river shall dry up, and the pride of Assyria shall be brought down, and the scepter of Egypt shall depart away. And I will strengthen them in the Lord, and they shall walk up and down in his name, saith the Lord. Our text is chapter 10, verse 4. The first phrase, out of him came forth the corner. May the Lord bless the reading and the preaching of his word. Beloved in our Lord Jesus, Zechariah comes with a comforting message to the remnant of God's people. The remnant of God's people, not only in Judah, but also of Israel, the northern tribes. They needed this comfort. Those that had returned to Judah had just finished rebuilding the temple, finally. That had been the first burden of Zechariah and Haggai, the rebuilding of the temple. But there's more work to do. God's people are struggling because they're surrounded with enemies bent upon keeping them from becoming a nation. Bent upon trying to keep them from building the walls of the city and establishing the land again. But it's not only the returning Jews to Judah, but also the 10 tribes. That is the house of Joseph, Manasseh and Ephraim and the other tribes that comprise the northern kingdom. They are the Jews in the dispersion, and they are asking, does God care about us? That is the elect there. Does God care about us? Will he help and bring salvation for us? What is our future? That becomes the question. What is our future faced with all these difficulties and enemies? Though exposed to all kinds of wrongs, the answer comes here from God's word. The comfort is they will be saved from divine aid coming from heaven. They will be saved because divine help comes from heaven. Read just in the verse before our text, the Lord of hosts hath visited his flock, the house of Judah. How does the Lord help them? What is this divine aid? Well, the message comes in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. The Lord is going to visit his people with his king. His king here is described as a corner, as the nail, as the battle bow, as the ruler or the oppressor or the exactor. And yes, the type that comes in answers to this problem, this prayer and this message, the type is the Maccabees. For a little while there is relief, but they're only a type, it's only temporary. This verse, this promise, is ultimately of Christ Jesus. That is the king. You see, the beginning of Zechariah, the first 8 chapters, they talk about this king that's going to come, and they're looking at the promise to David. But that kind of help, that human help, wasn't always very helpful, was it? Very temporary with the good kings, And, of course, for the northern kingdom, they were all rotten kings. They only led them into further idolatry. And so Zechariah, in these last chapters of the book, points away from the human help, the human element of the king, to the divine element of the king. The Lord visits his flock from on high. And we begin this evening with the first title or name, the corner or the cornerstone. We want to notice in this name, the cornerstone, an important messianic name. Then I notice in the second place what that title signifies. And then thirdly, the ramifications of this truth then and now. So we begin with our text, Zechariah 10, verse 4. Out of him came forth the corner. Out of him. And when there is a pronoun like that, in English class we know we have to look back. Who is this him referring to? Out of whom comes the cornerstone? John Calvin believed it was out of Judah. For the salvation that is promised is to the house of Judah. Out of Judah is the way the New International Version translates this very verse. Whether that means as an individual, surprise of surprise, Judah, a child of God, but very wicked. There's Perez, there's the line of David. There is now, finally, this ultimate Savior, the cornerstone. Whether it be out of Judah as an individual or Judah now as God's people, a name for the church. But Reverend Uphoff, in his notes to his class, gave a better understanding of this verse. This hymn refers not to the house of Judah or to Judah personally, but rather it refers to the Lord. In verse 3, it is the Lord's anger that's going to be kindled against those shepherds who misled the people and those goats, the heathen kings and their peoples that oppressed God's people. For the Lord of hosts hath visited his flock. And the Lord has made his flock his goodly horse in the battle. That's the closest pronoun to the pronoun that we find in verse 4, out of him. Who? The Lord who has visited his flock. The Lord who is going to make his people his goodly horse out of him will come forth one who is called Corner. Yes, out of Judah came good kings. David, Solomon, Hezekiah. The last of the good kings was Josiah, who tried to unite again the south and the northern kingdom. But all their reformation was temporary. These men came and these men went. We need more than a human king merely. We need one out of him, out of the Lord, a divine king. A divine king who comes down and becomes one of us to rule and to care for his church. Out of him comes the corner, or the cornerstone, it's translated. We find that title back in Isaiah chapter 28, verse 16. Read there that God is going to lay this stone in Zion. And those who believe will not be disappointed. They will not be ashamed. There were disappointments with David, weren't there? There were disappointments with Jehoshaphat, a godly king, when he made friends with Ahab and went to battle with Ahab or built ships with Ahaziah. There was disappointments with them because they're sinners like you and I. But out of him is going to come this stone of whom we will not be ashamed, we will not be disappointed. We find that same title, stone, in Psalm 118 that we read as a call to worship this evening. This stone rejected has become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. Now, who is that stone? That stone that will replace all the types that were inferior that had to pass away. We find Jesus Christ taking up Psalm 118 and applying those verses to himself in Matthew chapter 21. He says, "This is the stone the builders have refused, has become the headstone of the corner." Peter, in his defense before the unbelieving Jews, "In whose name are you doing this? How come you're doing this?" And they say, "It's in the name of Jesus." And then Peter quotes these verses in his defense. "Yes, this is the stone rejected of men, become the head of the corner." And then Peter quotes these same verses and other verses in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. He quotes them for the comfort and the establishing in the faith of all those who believe in Jesus Christ. We read there, "As you come to Him, the living stone, you also, like living stones, being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." The stone is Christ Jesus, with us as living stones built upon it. And then Paul, in Ephesians chapter 2, uses these verses in order to point to how in Christ Jesus that house is being built. How there is now a binding together what once was apart, namely the Jews and the Gentiles. We read in Ephesians 2, verse 19 and following, "You are members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Jesus Christ Himself as the chief cornerstone, a building in which God lives by His Spirit." So described in our text is Christ, Christ Jesus, the Son of God, in relationship to God's spiritual house. God having visited His flock, that is, His Son coming down from heaven, becoming one of us, crucified and risen again from the dead, He will build and He will fortify God's house, God's temple. Jesus says, "Tear it down, and in 3 days I will build it up again." Christ Jesus, the cornerstone upon which we as living stones are built as a habitation for God. And that house is going to stand. That house is going to stand, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That's the hope given to the Old Testament church by the prophet Zechariah. That's the hope that is held out to the church throughout the ages till Jesus comes again. I will build my house, Christ Jesus, the cornerstone. What does this title signify? Well, Christ is called here this stone or this rock. This stone, this rock through whom God's grace and God's life flows to us. In order to understand how He is this rock through whom grace and life flows to us. All we have to do is look at the Old Testament, where we read of that rock out of which the waters came. God's people were going to perish for lack of drinking water. They cry out, they murmur. And God supplies their need. He refreshes them again with living waters out of that rock. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we read that that rock was Christ. In Zechariah chapter 3, verse 9, we have the promise of that stone with seven eyes in which there will be the removal of iniquity in one day. What the need of God's church is to be refreshed, to be given life, and to have all of our iniquities purged away from us. It was because of iniquity that God's people, the Old Testament church, were sold into slavery. The northern tribes dispersed by Assyria and Judah in Babylon. But God's going to raise up a stone with seven eyes, purity, in which all of our iniquity will be removed in one day. One day, when Jesus Christ died there on the cross, there is the ground for our salvation. Jesus paid it all. In Matthew chapter 16, we have that beautiful confession of Peter, after Jesus asks his disciples, "Who do men say I am?" And they give various answers. "Now who do you say that I am?" "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus says, "Upon this rock," not Peter, "upon this rock," the confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, "on that rock I will build my church." Jesus is that rock upon which we as stones are built. And we have life because Christ is that living rock, that living stone. We become lively stones built on Him. There is no temple. There is no dwelling of God with men. There is no reconciliation with God, except in this one who is called the rock, the stone, the cornerstone, Jesus Christ. Rock suggests firmness, strength. The church is built on Christ Jesus. He refreshes us. He gives us this strength. That's the promise here to God's people in the Old Testament. "I'm going to give to you, out of me comes this rock. And out of me comes this rock who becomes now a sure foundation." That's what all the other New Testament passages are bringing out of Christ and going back, way back to Isaiah 28, the first prediction of this. I myself will lay this stone in Zion, and those who believe on Him will not be disappointed. Boys and girls, the stability, the safety of a building depends upon the foundation. You can have a beautiful building with costly stuff, materials, but if there's a shoddy foundation, come a storm and the whole big building falls flat. As you boys and girls probably remember from that song that you would sing about building your lives upon the Lord Jesus Christ. The foolish man builds on sand, huh? But the wise man builds upon the rock. Needed is a sure, a firm, a strong foundation. And then even if the materials of the building aren't the best materials, If there is a sure foundation, a strong foundation, the wind will howl, the seas might lash their waves, but that building stands. God has laid as a foundation for His church that building in which He is pleased to dwell. He has laid as a foundation His Son. His Son, who we read in John chapter 8, abideth forever. What a foundation. What a foundation. We, as lively stones, are built upon that foundation. And Jesus says, the gates of hell shall not prevail. Oh, they will lash. Oh, these enemies of God's people, whether it be the Assyrians to the north or the Babylonians to the east, or whether it be the Egyptians to the south or the Edomites or the Moabites, they will do their worst. They will try to defeat God's people, to bring it to ruins. The comfort comes, no. I will lay a sure foundation. And built upon that foundation, you will be a strong city, an enduring city. And that city is going to be built as a habitation where God is pleased to dwell. Yes, the temple was rebuilt at that time, because it's still the time of shadows, of types. But that building is going to be torn down stone by stone to be replaced with Him who is the temple of God dwelling with us. Built upon that foundation, Jesus Christ is this house that is now in the process of completion. The Lord is still building His house. He's building it on that confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, that there is salvation in none other. God is building His house on that foundation. And He says, here I choose to dwell. Here I choose to dwell. No wonder the songwriter says, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. God says, I will lay a stone in Zion, a foundation, a sure foundation on which the house is built. Old Testament church, New Testament church. But thirdly, Christ is this stone that not only refreshes and gives life, Christ is not only this stone that is a sure foundation, but Christ is also the stone that unites the two walls of the corner. You boys and girls perhaps have at home or have in the past played with Lego blocks. And you want to build a building. And you know that you have to interlock your blocks in order for that wall of your little building, your house, to be strong. And when it comes to the corner, those two walls can't be separate walls, but you again got to interlock those walls. That corner is very important for the stability of that building. And God's Word comes now as builders in the building trade. When you're building this house, you make sure that the walls are well connected. The promise comes here. Christ Jesus is this corner of this habitation. How is He the corner? What is He uniting? In the Old Testament, Zechariah is bringing the message, I'm going to lay, out of me is going to come this cornerstone that is going to unite what was separated because of sin. God comes to the house of Judah and he comes to the house of Joseph. That is, he comes to the southern kingdom, but he also comes to those who were of the northern kingdom. They had separated themselves from the house of David. They had said, what part have we in David? They were saying, what part have we in Christ? Horrible business. They separated themselves from the church. And we have heard, when we are dealing with church discipline, that is what those who remain impenitent do, whether they are excommunicated or whether they willingly leave the church. They are separating themselves from the house of God, from God's people. Oh, the sin of those who want no membership in Christ's church. The 10 tribes did not want membership in Judah. But here comes the promise. Not only for Judah, but also for those who were scattered, the elect, in Judah and of Israel. I lay, out of me comes this corner who is going to unite again. You will remember how King Hezekiah tried to bring reformation even to the northern tribes, inviting them to the Passover, and the very last godly king, Josiah, goes up there and he burns down their altars. He burns the bones of the priests on those altars. He tries to bring reformation and tries to bring them back. But the type has to fail, doesn't it? Because there's only one. There's only one who can bring together what is separated, and that is Christ Jesus, the corner. That's the meaning here of Zechariah to the house of Judah and the house of Joseph. But now the Apostle Paul, by inspiration, is able to take this title, the corner, and apply it to Jews and Gentiles. Yes, the nation of Israel as a whole would reject the Christ, and God says, I will now take my church also out of the Gentiles. The message is going to go there. And the wall of hostility is broken down between Jew and Gentile. The prejudice is going to be removed. I will bring them back together again. We read there, Christ as the corner. They're joined together. Ephesians 2, verse 13. Let me read that verse a moment for you. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace who hath made both one, hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, both reconciled unto God in the one body on the cross. Both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Fellow citizens with the saints and the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the cornerstone, one holy temple. What a beautiful, beautiful promise this was. Oh yes, in the Old Testament there were a few exceptions that were brought, of those of the Gentiles brought into the household of faith. The day would come, and it happened at Pentecost and continues today, when Christ the corner unites both Jew and Gentile, they are one. So that we read in Galatians chapter 3. Verse 28 and 29, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Christ is the corner. Breaks down all the envy or prejudice that naturally arises out of our sinful hearts to unite us together in a beautiful fellowship. But fourthly, Christ Jesus is, we read in Scripture, the head of the corner. What does that mean? The head of the corner was a costly, precious stone. It was not placed on top of the wall where no one could see it, but it was put in a very conspicuous place, like our cornerstones that we might put in a building. It draws the attention. One sees it. And we read then that Christ is the head of the corner, it means that He is the crown, He is the glory of the whole church. Yes. Out of Him comes the corner, the crown, the glory of God's people. So that the Apostle Paul is able to say, for me to live is Christ. The crown, the glory of God's people. Is Christ. So what does this title signify? Christ is the reconciler. Christ is the life giver. Christ is the one who sustains us. Not one moment goes by that we are not sustained. We have our life from Him who is the living stone. Christ is the immovable foundation so the gates of hell shall not prevail against us. Christ is the bond of union between the members of Christ Jesus. Christ holds us together by His Spirit and His Word. And Christ is the top stone. He is the capstone. He is the cover and the crown of our glory. Out of Him is the corner. Notice with me briefly some ramifications of this truth. What is true of the church corporately is also true of us individually as God's people, isn't it? What is true of the church corporately is true of us individually. Each believer. Do you realize each day that Christ is the rock of refreshment? Do you go to Him? Do you go to His Word to receive that refreshment, that food, that milk, and that meat that sustains your life? Do you say, I am like a heart about to perish unless I drink? Do we have this daily need of Christ going to Him? We do. Probably not as we ought. We need to be encouraged, don't we? Sometimes we're so busy we think we don't have time for those Bible devotions, and we don't have time for that Bible reading after the meal because we've got to go somewhere. Luther was said when he was the busiest, he found it impossible to do his work without being refreshed by going to God's Word. Christ is our refreshment and our life. That's why we came to church this morning and again tonight, isn't it? Not just because we had to, we wanted to. We wanted to be fed with Christ's Word. We wanted to be refreshed with the promises. We wanted to be refreshed with this beautiful picture out of Him is the corner. We rest on that foundation. When we're assailed with doubts and with fears, when we look at our own sins, we're able to say, I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that neither death nor life, not angels or principalities, not powers nor things present nor things to come, not height, not depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate me from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus my Lord. Nothing is able to separate me from that foundation. What beautiful comfort and encouragement. Temptations will bombard me. I and my foolishness will do some pretty sinful things. But nothing in this life, nothing in death, no other human being, not even Satan and his host, can separate us from Christ Jesus, from God's love to us in Christ Jesus. God has visited His flock in the corner. United to Christ Jesus, no one can break that bond. He is a tested, He is a sure stone, a precious stone. If God was pleased in His Son, He is going to be pleased with me and with you in Christ Jesus. If Christ Jesus was victorious, we will be victorious in Christ Jesus. Christ is my crown. Christ is my glory. Oh, He is precious, isn't He? What a cost was paid for Him who came down to secure us and to make us a habitation fit for our God. What a blessed Savior. Isn't He altogether lovely? Isn't He fairer than the children of men? What God sees in me, what God sees in you is not us ourselves, but He sees Christ dwelling. Christ radiating. That's the first ramification. It's true of the church corporately. Christ is our crown, our glory, our foundation, the corner that holds us, unites us together, the life refreshment, the reconciler. He is that to us individually. And we rest on that. Second ramification. If Christ is this corner out of God, be careful what you do with that cornerstone. He came to His own and He was received not. The Jews of Jesus' day were offended with Him. They rejected Him. And He became a stumbling block to the Jewish nation. He became to both houses of Israel a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. Woe unto us. Many of us from childhood on, sitting perhaps on mother's or father's knee, sung to us the songs of Christ Jesus, told to us the stories of what God has done in Christ Jesus. And the question comes, what think ye of Christ? What does He mean to you personally? What does He mean to us as a church? Those who reject the Christ that is presented in the Scripture, who do not believe on Him, the stone will fall on them and will crush them. But that same stone that is a stumbling block to many is the head of the corner, and they that believe on Him, they are saved. We read at the end of Romans chapter 9 of Israel, the Jewish nation. They followed after the law of righteousness. They did not attain to the law of righteousness. Why? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were of works of the law. They stumbled at that stumbling stone. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. What is your reaction? we're confronted, we're presented with Christ in the gospel week after week after week. What is our reaction? Do we thank God that we could be here in His house, that Christ was presented in all His power and His glory and saving grace, and that we know Him by faith as our Savior and our Lord? Do we bow down and kneel before Him? Come to Christ. Come to Christ as a living stone. Be refreshed. Be reconciled to your God. Be united with fellow saints. Stand on that sure foundation. May Christ be our crown and our glory. Third ramification of this truth, out of Him is the corner. There is one church of Jesus Christ, old and new dispensations. There are the dispensationalists who teach today that there are two peoples of God. There is the kingdom people, the Jews. They are His peculiar treasure, His most precious treasure, and then there is a lesser people, an alternate people, a people that He works with in the meanwhile, namely the church. Two different peoples, two different ways of salvation, two different outcomes or futures laying before them. We reject that on the basis of Scripture. The corner, or the cornerstone, has united Jew and Gentile. There's no difference between nationalities, male or female, bond or free. We're all one in Christ Jesus. The one glorious church of Jesus Christ. The one olive tree into which we, by grace, have been grafted in. We are sons of Abraham. That's not a distinction only for one particular people. But those who are of faith, those who are in Christ Jesus, we are sons of Abraham. And there is a fourth ramification of out of Him is the corner. And that is this, our eternal security. That was the issue, wasn't it? That was the issue of the two tribes who came back to the land of Judah and rebuilt Jerusalem, opposed with enemies. What is our future? What's going to become of us? That was the question of the church in the dispersion, the elect out there amongst the nations. Has God forgotten about us? Yes, Judah came back, but we remain scattered. Are we forgotten? Are we left out? And how beautiful that there is an Anna of the tribe of Asher in the temple when Jesus Christ is presented there. No, they're not forgotten. God comes in here and He says, here's your hope. I, the Lord, will come and visit my flock, and I'm going to give you this one called the corner. And He's going to make this habitation strong and firm so that the enemy will not prevail. And that's the promise to the church today. Our enemies are many, and they're going to increase. Many governments oppose freedom of speech, freedom of religion, or churches being gathered. And that day could very well come soon in our country. We see signs of that. Oppression. Freedom of speech. There have been many antichrists, and there is still coming the antichrist, in which one is not going to be able to buy or sell without the sign of the beast on them. Terrible times are coming. But in spite of those storms, the tempest, the gates of hell shall not prevail. persecution will abound, but God will keep a remnant until Christ comes again. Christ builds His church, and hell will not prevail. So this Christmas, let us come and see that the Lord visits His flock. How wonderfully He has visited us in giving us His Son, the cornerstone. And you and I, by grace, as lively stones, built upon that cornerstone, we, by grace, are the habitation of God. He is pleased to dwell in us. And He's coming again to take us with Him. Amen. Father in heaven, what a beautiful name for Thy Son. What a beautiful truth we have here, that we have a King that is going to save us, but not merely a human King. We have one who is very God of very God, and we have one who is also very man. And as such, He is going to be that cornerstone that refreshes us and gives us life, reconciles us to our God. He is going to be the sure foundation that we stand upon and are built upon. He will be that bond that unites fellow believers together, whether Jew or Gentile, whether bond or free or male or female. And He is going to be our crown and our glory forever. Our hope is built on that rock and nothing else. Amen. Psalter number 161. The Lord visits His flock. We sing with that dependence in Psalm 62, "My soul in silence waits for God, my Savior He has proved." Let's sing stanzas 1 and 2. 5 and 6 of 161. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen.